Louder, louder. We're good? Okay. All right. Well, let's pray for the teaching. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that we can gather together, Lord, and just to go over your word and what it has to say. Lord, may you speak to us in the scripture today that we're going to read about salvation. Lord, bless this youth and how it's going in its direction. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We thank you for the youth. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight, of course, we're going over salvation. You guys all turn to page 8. Salvation. Yes. You're there. Okay. Well, if anybody's ever looked at the definition of salvation, it's the act of saving, preservation from destruction, danger, or great calamity. So let's go through and go ahead and read the first part of salvation. It says, "We stand in hostile territory. The enemy holds multitudes of POWs, which is prisoner of war. Our mission is to reach these prisoners and offer them the only hope of escape, which is the gospel. The plan and the message are simple. The greatest threat to our success is that we will be distracted from that very simplicity." So what I have right now, Brenna, if you want to go ahead and play that, it's a video from the skit. So we will read number one, the cross. Who would like to read that verse, anybody? Or that paragraph? Well, the cross. So a few verses that are listed there is John 19:30. So when Jesus said, you have that up there, Brennan? So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. So with that, when he said, "It is finished," I mean, that was him saying, "I paid this for you guys. This is how I will save you from your sins." Anybody want to read the second one, 2 Corinthians 5:21? And it will be up there. Soon. Anytime. You will? Okay. And 1 Corinthians 15:3 through 5. Nicholas? And then we have Hebrews 10:10, 12, and 14. So Hebrews 10:10 says, "By that we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once for all." And then 12 says, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God." And 14 says, "For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." And just a slight note, the definition of sanctified is to set apart or declare holy consecrate. So we were declared holy by his sacrifice on the cross for our sins. He loved us that much that he laid down his life for us. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. There's been no more perfect sacrifice. He is pure. He had no sins throughout his life. I mean, he led the example for all to cleanse us from our sins for all that believe in him. So we'll go on number two, which is God's grace. Anybody want to read the paragraph on it? Don't throw your sister under the bus. She's really good at reading them. Brendan, would you like to read that, please? So in that, it is definitely, it's important to remember that there's nothing that we can do except to have faith and believe in him, to know that we are saved. Jesus is the door to our salvation, a door that we don't need a key to. All we have to do is answer the knock when he's knocking. And it's not up there, but I have Revelations 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. How awesome is that? I mean, you don't need a key. You just need to answer the door and let him in. And it just blows me away by that. So we've got Ephesians 2, 4 through 8. Anybody? I'll read it. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Jesus Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So again, there's nothing that you can personally do. You can be the greatest person in the world and say that, you know, I've done nothing wrong in my life. I don't need Christ. I'll go to heaven anyways. Well, false. You do need Christ. You do need to believe in him. You need to have faith. You need to open your heart and accept him as your Savior. Anybody want to read Titus 3:5? It's not very long. Go for it. You're next. Okay. So would anybody like to read the gift portion? My love. Yes. Yes, you get to read.
What God really gives it.
It is really easy.
We probably could.
So, would anybody like to read John 3:16?
Where's that?
It's only the most famous portion of the Bible. Okay. Not pinpointing anybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Correct. And then 2 Corinthians 5:7. Really short. I'm not looking at you. Anyways, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." It's kind of nice to know that, you know, even if you are blind or whatever, you can just walk by his faith. A lot of people are blinded in this world, and they have vision. So when you can walk, he is your light to your path. He lights up your way. Romans 3:23-24. You do 23, I'll do 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. And Romans 4:16, I have it in the New Living Translation. sometimes it's just easier to, if you can't understand it in one book, say the New King James Version or the NIV or whatever, if you just will switch between versions. And most phones in the Bible apps have different versions. It kind of clarifies it, and it's like, wow, okay, that's what he meant. So in Romans 4:16, it says, "So the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift, and we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live accordingly or according to the law of Moses. If we have faith like Abraham's, and for Abraham is the father for all who believe." And then number 4 is faith. Anybody want to read faith? Nicholas would love to. So John 1:12 says, "But as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name." So basically, you know, he is our ultimate father. He is there for us in the time of need and is also there when we may need correction. But just know that he is faithful and just. He is definitely ultimate father. We all may have an earthly father. Maybe they weren't the greatest. But he is forgiving, obviously, by going and sending Son to the cross for us to redeem us of our sins. Who else would send their Son to the cross knowing his destruction to save others? And then John 3:18. And then, so Romans 4:5, we have that in the New Living Translation as well. But people are counted as righteous, not because of their works, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. And then Romans 4:24, I put that in the Net Bible. it says, but also for our sake, to whom it will be credited, those who believe in the one who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. And then Romans 5, 1 through 2. Anybody want to read? So Jesus died on the cross for us that we may be saved from destruction, from ourselves, basically. He basically said, Father, I love these sinners. I will be their perfect sacrifice. I will die for their sins once and for all, that they may be saved through me. So Jesus is our mediator to our Heavenly Father in heaven. And that's just nice to know that we have that relationship with Jesus. And he has, basically, he's got our back, especially in times of need. And then John 5:24. Anybody want to read that? Thank you. Once it's propped, you have 5:24 up there, Brennan?
5:43.
Okay. Well, I can do that one. Okay. Next one, you got that one. Actually, it's a long one. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. And then John, 1 John 5, 10 through 13. Okay. He who believes in the Son of God. So all we have to do is what? Believe in Jesus. We have and accept him into our hearts and our lives. We can mess up. We do mess up sometimes, and most every day we mess up. But just know that he has forgiven us of our sins. And he's the greatest father that we have. Righteousness. What is righteousness, by the way? What does righteousness, do you think, mean? Without flaw? Well, let's read on righteousness. I'll get that one. Jesus Christ alone is righteous. When we place our trust in him, he becomes our righteousness. He gave us his righteousness because he willingly bore our sins. Righteousness is imputed to, placed to the account of, the one who believes. Every believer in Jesus Christ possesses the righteousness of God. And just to underline that, every believer. So Romans 1:17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, they just shall live by faith. And 1 Corinthians 1:30. Okay. Oh, did you? I got that. But of him you are in Jesus, and Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. Second Corinthians 5:21 says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So, I mean, like I said earlier, he knew no sin. He was sin-free. and he bore our sins upon that cross, and his word was true. He rose from the dead for us. And then, so Galatians 3:6. Anybody got that one? That was 3:6, Brendan.
You made it read the wrong one. Huh? Talk about people messing up.
That's Galatians 3:6.
Huh?
That's what it's
like. Oh, does it?
It's don't put this on me.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Right? No, that's 4:3 through 5.
Hmm? It's just 3:6.
Maybe it's a different version.
Okay. Could be a different version. Good job. Thank you. Romans 4:3 through 5. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed in God, and it was accounted for by him to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. So what are the wages of sin? Death. Correct. And then 5 says, but to him who does not work, but believes in him, who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for by righteousness. And then Philippians 3:9. And be found in him, not having our own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. So we cannot be righteous on our own, but we can only be righteous through Christ Jesus. And then Hebrews 11:7. Says, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, preparing an ark for saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. So are we to fear God? Yes. Yes, we are. Is it a bad fear? No. It is good to fear God. It is more scary if you don't. So what we've learned is, so by the cross we are saved as long as we believe in him. God is graceful, merciful, and forgiving. He offers us the gift of eternal life by our faith in him, as long as we fear, trust in our God, and have faith in him. He has cleansed us, and we are forgiven. So our salvation is based on what? It is by faith, correct. Also based that we know he died for us, as well as if we just keep in our hearts and our minds, you go through a life right now and you're seeing your friends, if they're not saved, hold them tight, get them close, invite them to church. Because you may need that body or them to hold on to you when you're jumping out the plane. So, would anybody like to pray us out?